Hello and welcome to the HMEB podcast. I'm your host, David Cuff, the executive editor of HME Business, your source for news, trends, and insights into the home medical equipment industry. Our COVID-19 coverage continues with this episode focusing on a special effort recently undertaken to see developing COVID-19 protocols, sort of common responses to COVID-19. We've heard some unique instances, but now we're starting to see some patterns emerge. Before I dive into that, this episode is sponsored by our friends at Playmaker Health, which provides a CRM platform and tools for HME sales, and you can find out more about them at playmakerhealth.com. Okay, here to talk about the study effort is our well-known friend Ty Bello, president and CEO of Team at Work, and he's done a pretty interesting qualitative survey. Before we dive into that, Ty, how you doing?
I'm doing great, David. Thank you. How are you and your family? Everyone good?
Yeah, everyone's fine. Same on your end, I trust?
Yes, sir, it is. Thank you.
Okay. Well, let's dive in and let's talk about this survey. Now, this isn't a quantitative survey where you're going out and crunching numbers. This is more sitting down and interviewing a ton of providers. Do I have that right?
Yeah, correct. Absolutely. And you know what I did, David? I did, I made phone calls, outbound phone calls to just a bunch of friends. That's how it started out. It was just me checking in on my friends, you know, colleagues that I've known for 20 years plus. I just wanted to see how they were doing. By the end of it, I reached out to over 20 providers from HME to complex rehab to HME with pharmacy and HME with retails and complex rehab with retails, and really did a tried to do my best to do coast to coast after I started realizing, oh my goodness, this is interesting. This is kind of like a survey, if you will, in best practices. So I'm hearing from my good friends what's going on frontline, you know, what they're experiencing every single day. And it turned out to be very informative for me and for others.
Obviously, in sales, you're asking people questions all the time. Funny, because in my line of work, I'm asking people questions all the time. But it's interesting that in a lot of respects, the qualitative responses you hear can really start to define patterns more than you would expect, like in an actual number crunching type of survey.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It was, as I shared, and I shared with all of them, I even went back and called one or two of the folks early on and said, you know what, I think I'm going to take your data. I'm never going to share your name or the company or anything else like that, but I'd like to take the information that I heard from you guys and be able to share it on a broader scope, kind of best practices as we all maneuver through this time that we are in right now, COVID-19, and prepare to come out of it, whatever time frame that might be. And everyone was fine with it. They thought it was great. You know, there's no trade secrets out there. Everyone's kind of following similar policies, if you will, and procedures, but there are some unique stories, unique blends, and best practices that I think we're going to find very interesting.
So let's dive in and talk a bit about some of the things that you started to see happen. Let's break it down by aspects of the business, and let's start with something that's near and dear to your heart. That's sales. What are some of the best practices, protocols that you're starting to see emerge in this era of COVID-19?
Yeah, I think the first thing that just really came over the phone lines as I was talking to these folks was they're really not out there selling, quote unquote. They're really trying to serve their community, which I got to tell you, David, in all honesty, it's really no different than what we do on a normal day-to-day basis with or without COVID-19. We really try to serve those people, right? So we can earn their trust. And I heard that theme more and more. Now, obviously here, we're not trying to come across as being there to sell them something. And, you know, even with the offices closed, you know, that we're finding many, many of the offices are closed. We know that states and counties and cities are in lockdown, but we're finding something else out too. Some of the rural areas are actually still open. Physicians' offices are actually still seeing people. Some hospitals there, you still can't get in because they're trying to prevent, obviously, spread. They're doing the mitigation practice and so forth. But there are some of those offices that are still open. And I got a text just last night. I know we talked yesterday afternoon about this in our schedule, but last night I got a text from somebody. They are an HME with a pharmacy. The pharmacy has taken on creating, making some hand sanitizer, and they have gone out now. And in those rural areas where the offices are still open, they're going out there dropping off hand sanitizer to many of the physicians' offices that they used to call on. And it's like this unbelievable gift that they're giving them. It's just amazing. So I was really excited when I got that last night. I figured we'd be able to talk about that today. You know, we're also finding that some physicians' offices, if they are open, they're allowing one patient in at a time. And other patients are kind of congregating outside, still keeping social distances, et cetera. And then when that patient is done, they're physically walking them out, you know, after they get in through the reception area and back into a room, they're bringing somebody else in. But they're taking the protocol very, very seriously. Now, some of the clinics that are out there, as I'm hearing from some of our colleagues that are out there, some of the clinics like long-term care, assisted living clinics, and all independent clinics, specifically to those that are in the complex rehab arena, the ATPs that typically go out there and do the evals of the patients, pretty much all of those are closed. Also heard as late as this Wednesday that many of the sleep labs, I have not heard of, let me say it this way, I've not heard of one sleep lab that is still open right now. Yeah. And the what they're doing above and beyond is they're using social media in such an amazing way to kind of get the message out that we're still here trying to serve and help you. And oh, by the way, we can help, you know, we can, the message I think there is that we can help in these times kind of thing. The emails, massive amounts of emails going out there. And even in offices that are closed, there are key people in those offices that are still receiving emails. Like I'm going to say the lead nurse that might be in there, a PA or something, and then the physician as well. So they're still staying in communication with those guys. And one provider, this is interesting about, you know, not wanting to take credit for things that we're doing in the community, but this is a real fortunate opportunity. They were able to acquire several hundred kits, the test kits for COVID-19, and they donated many of them to the hospital, very much wow. under the radar. But the hospital turned around and on social media gave them a shout out saying, we really want to thank this company for donating these kits, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what this is about. It's not about selling right now. And that's the way these guys are operating. It's really about serving our communities.
But, you know, that kind of public goodwill, that has unlimited value.
It really does. It really, really does. And, you know, we talked about this earlier and we're both very thankful, very, very much thankful for the folks at Playmaker for sponsoring this. And the echo that we heard from Playmaker when we talked to them about this, that they didn't want this to be a sales pitch about their company. This is what they wanted to do to serve the community that they're trying to serve every single day. And both you and I were like, just taken aback by that in a positive way. And it's just great humility on their part and really desire to want to serve folks. And yeah. I know you're thankful and so am I.
Yeah, no, it's funny because we're probably doing the exact thing that they don't want us to do.
Yeah, probably, but it's really nice of them to step up this way. And, yeah, it's just great.
So, okay, so that's kind of looking at sales. Now, what happens at the store locations? I think you mentioned a little bit about this, that some people were open, some people weren't. What's happening at the physical locations to kind of manage infection? Because this is an essential service. People need to come in and get HME and related supplies because they've got medical conditions to deal with.
Yeah, you're exactly right, David. And, you know, the providers are all, you know, practicing their disaster preparedness process and they're adapting as they need to as they go forward. Many of them have closed down at least the entry into their office. And if they have a retail, some of them have closed down the retail as well. But the positive side is there is curbside pickup and or if they have a drive-through window, they're doing that. One story that I heard, and this was an HME that happens to be a pharmacy and obviously had, not obviously, but they have a retail location as well. Well, their pharmacy is still open and they have a lot of drive-through window people that come to pick up their prescriptions, not a problem, but they had someone actually drive up to their front door and they had a sign there saying that we're not open, but call us and we'll try to help you as best we can. And literally the person did call and they started talking to one of the people on staff there and they were trying to find a certain product. And they couldn't remember the name, but they could remember what it looked like. So the person, the retail operator, actually walked around, picked up the different products, brought them up to the front window, allowed the patient to identify which one it was that they wanted, and they pretty much did the shopping for them and then did all of the transaction that way. And that's it. They're improvising, they're adapting, they're overcoming, they're serving is what they're doing. Now, many have gone to a lighter staff at some of their locations, but they are working from home. And I trust that you're going to bring that up later on some way. I know you will. And one provider actually said to me that they were able to bring stuff for the patient to another location. They actually delivered it. It wasn't to their home because the patient was working. This was another responder. Patient was working. They were able to drop it off safely for that worker at another location so that worker could pick that up there as opposed to waiting for it to be delivered at home because they were very, very busy with their job right now because they're on the front lines. And again, just another way of serving these folks.
Yeah. And to your point, if people are regular out there are regular listeners to this podcast, then at the tail end of last week, I was talking to Gary Sheehan at Cape Medical Supply, and they have really transitioned to telework like nobody's business. And then I was also talking to Josh Parnas at Adapt Health. Now, there's a really big provider, right? They're in something like 38, 40 states. And he was telling me he had something like 80% of their workforce flipped to telework within 24 hours.
There's a lot of planning that goes into that. You know, that doesn't just happen. And that's what I heard from a lot of the providers. As soon as they saw this was developing and evolving, many of them got in touch with their own IT people that they have working there. If they have an IT person on staff or they outsource that, many of them contacted their manufacturers of their computers and were able to acquire laptops so that they could set their staff up in the home setting. So they really did a phenomenal job getting that prepared. And I don't know that I have a percentage like you shared there, but I know the majority of them are having people work from home. I even heard one case where they're rotating. Some people are working from home and then coming back into work while the other people work from home, so they don't have too crowded of a staffing there, and obviously are practicing social distancing and all. And they're swapping their laptops, cleaning them all down, wiping them all down, all of that. But then those people are going home because here's the deal. They're not just going home for themselves. Almost the entire country probably by now, right? The entire country. Everyone, all the schools are closed. So a lot of these folks still have children. So they're doing homeschooling and they're taking care of their kids. So they're doing a rotation like that. And that shows, I think, a little bit of teamwork on their part and willing to share in this unbelievable situation that we find ourselves in as a country right now. And so they're finding ways to adapt.
Okay, so we've talked about the what's happening in the store. Now I'm kind of curious. Let's look at what's happening out in the field. What's happening with the delivery techs and the RTs and the people who actually have to get out there and meet with the patients at their homes? Are there some common sort of protocols that you're starting to see develop there?
Yeah, there are. And again, people are using their disaster preparedness policies and processes that they have adopted, and they are really maneuvering through this as best they can. But they're still doing deliveries in the home setting. When they do, they're gowning up, they're masking, they're putting obviously PPE. I heard of one provider that when they walked up to the door to have the delivery ticket signed by the patient, they handed the patient a pen and they had their gloves on when they had the delivery ticket for them to sign, and they made sure that the patient didn't touch anything on the board, and the patient didn't, and then they gave them the piece of paper and they just slid it there on the floor and said, just let it sit there and, you know, you can pick it up later on, but this is we're all set, no problem. So again, they're just thinking wisely. They're not trying to put anybody at risk, obviously. Some have suspended their concentrator checks for this time being, which I get, I understand. And then they're following their standard, what I'm going to call standard cleaning and or clean and dirty equipment procedures. So when they, you know, they have clean equipment, obviously, that might be going out to a patient, they might be picking up dirty equipment, and they're following the normal procedures for that, maybe going an extra step by bagging them, you know, a little bit differently or faster than they did before. I will say this, I did hear from one provider that services long-term care facilities, who normally we would bring equipment in, exchange it for dirty equipment, and take it out. But you can't do that now. All the long-term care facilities are closed to anybody from the outside. Makes sense. So what they're doing is the long-term care facilities actually putting the dirty equipment outside in a designated area, and then the provider is dropping off the clean equipment, and it's completely bagged, completely clean, just like they normally would do, and then they're taking that in. Then that provider is bagging that dirty equipment and obviously have a space on their vehicle where that stuff would go. And then they bring it back to their warehouse and follow their normal procedures for cleaning the equipment and getting it ready to go back out on somebody else in the future. So it's been really enlightening to hear again how we have, while we're following our procedures, et cetera, we're really adapting day to day on what we can do and what we can't do, but ultimately how we can serve the patient and the community.
You know, I want to go back to something because we were talking about sales and we were talking about being good to referral partners and all that. And an interesting thing that has come out of at least my discussions with providers was that there is an increasing acknowledgement of the importance that providers play in the, you know, the healthcare continuum. And I'm wondering if you're seeing a similar thing happen in the with the providers that you're talking to.
I do. And I asked them some questions about the referral community. I wanted to know what was going on in the referral community and not just whether or not they were shut down and what they were working like and so forth. But they, many of the providers that I spoke with are actually seeing a little bit of an upsurge in some of their products and services that they're delivering. Because again, I think the hospitals are, and rightfully so, trying to get patients out of the hospital to make room for other more needing patients at this time with COVID-19. And so we're seeing a little bit of an uptick, but they're also realists. And they realize that that might be for now and it might slow down a little bit, but I'm the eternal optimist and I think it won't. I think it's going to actually continue to go up even when this, when we get back to this new normal, whatever this new normal will be. You know, providers are actually contacting their manufacturers to find out what might be happening in the future. And they are getting some very positive responses. I think manufacturers are being very open with them that there, you know, there could be shortages for some supplies as we go forward. That's the truth. The supply chain has been affected by this as well. So I think that's good. The referral community too, I believe overall knows that we're really here to serve them. And so I think that's what you're hearing too. And you know, there's been a handful of people that told me on the calls that some of the referral community have actually asked them, what are we doing? And I'm saying we as an HME provider, what are we doing in order to ensure patient safety? Which makes sense. I mean, yeah. Think about it. We're being told on TV to keep our orders going with restaurants and so forth and so on. And Barb and I did a takeout the other day, but we called. Well, we called in advance and we asked them, you know, what's your procedure right now? What are you doing? Well, everyone's wearing gloves. Everyone's wearing masks. Okay, we're in. We'll give it a shot. No problem at all. So we did. Well, if we're doing that for food, don't you think the referral sources would be interested in this relative to what we're doing with patients that we're actually seeing? And the answer is yes, they are. So when we talk about social media and talk about sending out a positive message, this is a positive message. We're not giving the farm away or any top secret away by posting out there on social media. Just want you to know that we're taking every precaution possible. We're following our disaster preparedness procedure, which is laid out because we're part of accreditation process, et cetera. I think that's very healthy for a business to get out there to the general public, right? The consumer of our goods, and of course, to the customer, i.e. the referral sources that are out there as well.
That makes a ton of sense. So let's keep going on referrals real quick. I'm curious. Hospitals are trying to empty beds and discharge people to free up bandwidth in the hospital as much as possible to deal with the whole COVID thing. Are you hearing that? Did you hear that rather from the providers that you talk to? Are they seeing hospitals, you know, really sort of turn up the volume when it comes to working with HME providers in order to get people into the home care setting?
David, I absolutely did. And let me say this very clearly. You know, I didn't get overwhelming from everybody that, oh my goodness, the hospitals are discharging people left and right. It was a good and fair mixture from the different states that I called, the different cities that I called. And by the way, I called people from big, large, small, medium-sized cities, et cetera, different size providers, all of the above. And I did hear that. And the big thing there was for me, hearing them say that they wanted to make sure that they got that message to those hospitals, discharge planners, social workers, case managers, not as a selling tactic, but truly as a community service to let them know this is what we do every single day and wake up passionate about doing, taking care of patients in the home. And the message is resonating. It's just resonating. And none of us have a crystal ball. We don't know where this exactly is heading right now. But as we listen to the experts, we're going to see it for a couple of more weeks for sure. And there will still continue to be that need for patients to be discharged from the hospital and go home. And that's what we do. So I don't think this is over. I think those stories, and I really think those stories, great stories, amazing stories, are going to be resonating for months and years in our industry and what we've been able to do.
Okay, yeah. So having good stories to tell is important. And I imagine that's really the name of the game here, Ty, is to get the good word out about this being an important component of healthcare.
No, I couldn't agree more, David. And I think we're doing a really good job of that without coming across as trying to sell to the community, but really to be a community service. I mean, listen, I've been in this industry for 30 years, and I believe in us and always will believe in us. We are part of this solution right now. We just are. And people, we can help them in their home setting, and we need to let folks know that. Again, we're not trying to sell them. It's a community service. So if you're not as a provider, if you don't mind me speaking directly to them, if you are a provider, take advantage of social media. Share with them what we're able to do. Thank the local frontline providers, the hospitals, the nurses, the case managers, discharge. Don't forget them in all of this. And by all means, make sure that we're messaging things appropriately to our customers, the consumer as well, the people whose lives are changed because of the products and services that we provide. I think that's very, very important for us to let them know that we're here, that let them know that we are continuing to have their products that they need in our facility, in our locations, and we're here to serve them. I think they need that level of encouragement, of confidence and understanding about what's going on as well. And keep sharing your stories with others out there, success stories and things, because I think right now we need an uplift of our spirits, and that's what you're doing. And not being on the front lines anymore, I just want to thank you. Thanks for doing what we do as an industry and for all of the time and effort that you're putting into this. It's just amazing.
Well, Ty, thank you for this effort of going around and starting to see these emerging protocols coming out. You know, this is the name of the game in terms of sharing best practices as we all respond to a very fluid situation.
Thank you, David, very much. Really appreciate it.
And thanks again to our sponsors, Playmaker Health, for backing this podcast. They helped make this possible and helped make Ty's work possible. I know that they kind of wanted to, you know, not go too heavy here and have us promote them, but I just think Ty and I both appreciate it. You know, if you're looking for smart sales management systems, definitely go check out playmakerhealth.com. I think with that, we'll close things up for this episode. That said, our COVID-19 coverage will continue. Don't forget to rate and review the HME Business podcast. And please, if you haven't already done so, make sure to click the subscribe button so that you get every new episode. Remember, you keep listening and we'll keep posting. And if you want to stay on top of everything that's happening in the industry, make sure to check out hme-business.com and subscribe to eSource, our weekly e-newsletter service there. And if you haven't done so already, make sure to subscribe to the print magazine there as well. Again, that's hme-business.com. Of course, you can follow us on social media. We're at HME Business on both Facebook and Twitter, and I'm at Postacute News on Twitter. Lastly, if you have any feedback, suggestions, or requests, don't be afraid to reach out to me. Again, I'm at Postacute News on Twitter, or you can hit me up via email at DKO, P as in Paul, F as in Franklin, at 1105media.com. Thank you all very much for listening. As we can see, the HME industry continues to quickly turn around smart responses to COVID-19, and we'll keep that information coming. But in the meantime, goodbye until the next HMEB podcast.